Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Aleph, and we're starting on the bottom of daf Chaf on the base, four lines from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan. The Mishnah said as Peretz Lasois Loiderech Vein Mamcha Biyodei Derech Hamelach Ein Loishir, and then it ends off in the Mishnah on the top of daf Chaf on the base. V'cholam Beizizim and Noisnin Loi V'hu Noitel Chelik Bereish, that everyone takes the spoils of war, gives him the melech, the first choice, and then they go and split it. Continues the Gemara on that theme, Tanu Rabbanan Oitzros Melachim. The Oitzros, the treasuries of Melachim, of kings, that they got during war, Lamelech went to the king. Ushar Bizeh Shebozim Mechzel Lamelech Mechzel Am. With the spoils of the war that were made up of the actual treasury of the previous king that they conquered went straight to the king, the Jewish king. And the rest of the spoils, they split half and half. Amalei Abayler of Dimi v'Amalei of Acha Bishlama, Oitzros Melachim LaMelech. It makes sense, and we understand when you say that the treasury of the previous king, the king that they conquered, and the kingdom that they conquered goes to that king. That makes sense. Urch de Milsa, because that's the way of the world, that everything should go to the king because it's coming from the treasury of a previous king. How do you know it goes? You split it half and half. The chsiv, like we've said in the pasuk in the Devarei HaYamim, when it talks about Shlomo, when he was coronated, when he was crowned, and the pasuk ends l'kayin. The pasuk goes and puts Nogid, which is referring to Shlomo Melech, and Tzadik, which is Tzadik HaKoyin, together. So, Gemara Makish Nogid L'Tzadik. You will make a Hekish. We compare Shlomo Melech to Tzadik HaKoyin, who was the Koyin God. Ma Tzadik Mechzaloi Mechzaloch, Vav Nogid Mechzaloi Mechzaloch. Just like Tzadik HaKoyin, he split Lechem upon him, half for himself and half for his brethren, the other Kehanim. So too, by Shlomo HaMelech, when it comes to the spoils of war, half goes to him and half goes to the rest of the people. Like, we know that Lechem upon him, there were 12 breads that were put every week on the Shulchan, and half them went to the Kohen Gadol, and half them went to the other Kehanim. So just like you split the Lechem upon him half and half, so too we're saying that Shlomo HaMelech split it half and half. And the Tzadik Gufei Minolan, and how do we know that Tzadik himself split it half? And after Tanya Rabbi, Yomi Rabbi says, "Well, who's Aaron Levonov? Mechzel Aaron and Mechzel Levonov. That half goes to Aaron and half goes to Levonov." We darshan it from the pasuk. Now the next Mishnah continues on the theme. We said that you can't have Layarbe Loi many things of Susim Layoshma Mitzrayma. It says that you can't Layarbe Loi Noshim Eloshmoy Nasri. The Tanakam says that you can only have 18. Wives for a king. And we know that the Gemara is going to say in Amabez that that's only for a king, but a Hedyot from the Mia Tapasa could have 18 wives. Rabbi Yehuda says, Marbahu Loi, that you could have more than 18 wives. Ubavash Leim Sirius Asliboi, as long as they are not wicked wives, they are not wicked ladies, then you could have more than 18. Now, obviously, the Ramah on this Mishnah, and many of the Achronim Rishonim point out that it doesn't mean that you can marry more wives, 18 wives, even if they're Rishonim. But of course, wicked wives, women that are Muchsak Rishonim, they're already established that they are wicked, then you can't marry them at all. We're talking about women that we don't know. We don't have a chazaka on what they previously are, their religious status, and therefore we don't know if they're going to sway you to the right or sway you to the left. Those ladies, you can marry up to 18 of them. But ksheirais, women that we know for sure are kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda in Shitas Tanakama, that's what we're going to go in those Rishonim in the Mishnah, you can marry even more than 18. Rabbi Shimon says, no, afilu achas umesiris liba reizu loisen. Rabbi Shimon's machmer, he says that even one that you think might go and sway your heart and turn you off the derech, you're not allowed to marry her. Imkin lam nemer leyir b'loi. If so, why does the Torah go and specify that you cannot marry more than many women? Leyir b'loi noshim. Afilu kavigail, even like Avigail, meaning even if Avigail was the 18th, the 19th, wife of yours, you're not allowed to go and marry, you're not allowed to go over the number of 18, even if she is completely kosher v'yasher. Zokti Gemara. So it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda is not is Rabbi Yehuda is being derish time of the, meaning he's going and shtelling, he's sitting on the words of the pasuk that says lo yirbalei noshim, and that they shouldn't go and sway your heart, v'layaser levavai, and he's shtelling on those words layaser levavai, and Rabbi Shimon is not saying that it is dependent on layaser levavai, but rather he takes lo yirbalei noshim very literal, and he doesn't go into the meaning or the reasoning behind it. Remember, the Rabbi Yehuda darish time of the Korah, Rabbi Shimon lo darish time of the Korah, so it comes out from our mission. Rabbi Yehuda is darish time of the Korah. He looks into the reasoning of the pasuk and he establishes halachas based on the reasons that he derives from the pasuk, and Rav Shimon does not look into the reasons of the pasuk. For Ibchab Shaminullah, we learned the opposite. The Tani, we learned to the Baisa Almona Benchi, Ani Benchi, Hashirei Mashkananaisa. Shenemer Leisachbo Begad Almona Divrei Behuda. Behuda is under the opinion that whether a Almona, a widow, is rich or poor, you can never take a mashkin when you lend her money, you can never take the collateral, regardless of whether she's rich or poor. Reb Shimon says, no, Ashir Mashkanaisa, a rich woman, you can go, if she's a widow, you can go and take this collateral. Why? Because you don't have to return it to her. Aniya Mashkanaisa, but rather a poor woman, a poor widow, you cannot take a mashkin. Why? Because you're going to have to go and return this collateral, whether it's pajamas or clothing that she's going to need in the morning and the night, at the, and you're going to make for her a bad reputation and a bad name amongst her neighbors. And the Gemara said, what exactly is Reb Shimon saying? That almana, that's a poor almana, you're not allowed to take collateral because you're going to have to return it. This is what he says. Since you're going to take collateral, at the, and you're going to have to return it every single day, and therefore what's going to come out is going to make a bad name for her in her neighborhood, because people are going to see men dwelling amongst her household. Alma, so you see from here, Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time d'kor. Rabbi Yehuda is under the opinion that says that whether she's rich or poor, you're not allowed to take a mashkin. He doesn't say the reason, he doesn't go into the reason of the pasuk. And even though you're right, the Torah knows that the reason is because you're going to have to return it to her, and you're going to make a bad name, you're going to cause her to have a bad reputation, that things are going on in her house because men are going and hanging around their house in the morning and night. But no, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. Even though a rich woman, you don't have to return it. Still, you can never take a mashkin whether she's rich or poor. Rabbi Shimon darish time of the Korah. Rabbi Shimon is darish time of the Korah, which seems like the opposite of our Mishnah, where it seems like Rabbi Shimon is not darish time of the Korah. Zok to Gemara, ba'almer Behuda, loy darish time of the Korah. Really, Rabbi Yehuda in general does not darshan the time of the Korah, b'shani hocha, and it's different over here than the Mepharish time of the Korah. The pasuk itself says its reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to go and delve into and try to figure out and think about theories of what the reason of the pasuk is and then derive halachas based on that reasoning, but rather the Torah itself spoke it out. Matam le'yarvelu nashim. Torah says, why shouldn't you have many wives? Shem le'yas levavi. Because through these wives, they're going to go and make your heart stray and go off the derech. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda goes and bases the halacha of this ribui notion of many women based on that reasoning of layas levavi. And where you don't have that chashash, he says there's no problem. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Michti, ba'amad hashim tam rekoa. In general, we go into the reasoning of the pasuk. We don't need the pasuk to specify what the reason is. We ourselves are derish the tam of the Korah, the reasoning of the pasuk. And if so, lichtoiv kro layarbalay noshim. The Torah should just say, don't marry many wives. Vilishtoik, and stop there. You don't have to add on any reason. We would know ma tam layarbam mishum layosar. We would figure out on our own that the reason why you can't have many wives is so that your heart shouldn't stray with these many wives. Layosar lamali. Why does the Torah go and specify the words layosar? Filu achas mesiras libet, to tell you this extra chiddushit, even if it's one wife and there's a good chance she would make your heart stray, harei zu lo yisa ena, you should not marry her, even if it's less than 18. Elamani mekayim leyarba. So why does the Torah say leyarba? That filu kavigail, even like Avigail, who's such a kosher, even her you're not allowed to go over the number of 18 if she's number 19. The Gemara says, "Hani shmeina asher menon." How do you know this number, this magic number of 18 wives? How do you know that's the cap? Where the Tanakh come again from? The Chassid like says by Shmuel, in Shmuel para Shmuel Beis Paragimel Psukim Beis through Hev Eivoldu David Me Bechevron, Bon Bechevron. David had many children in Chevron, but he Bechoroi, his Bechoro was Amnon Lachi Noyam Hayisraelis. Mishneyu, and his second son was Kilav Avigail, Eishes Novela Carmeli. Vashlishi, and his third son was Avsholim ben Maacho. Varvi, Adonio ben Chagis. Vachmishi, and the fifth son was Shefatio ben Avital. Vashishi Yisrim la'eglo Eishas David. Eile yuldu lov ben Chevron. These are the children of David that was born in Chevron. So you see that he had six wives and six different children from these wives. And Nosan and Navi told him, Amalei and Navi, Imma'ot va'isif l'cha kahena v'chahena. He was giving him Musar. And he was saying that you have everything going for you. Amamesh, you have David Amalech went and caused a Ria Hachiti, who was the Eishas, who is the Baal of Bathsheba. He sent him out to the front lines and he caused him to die. And Nasan and Navi came and gave him Musar. And he said, Imamish have everything. You have Malchus Beis Shaul, you have his Michal Bas Shaul, you have everything. And this is not enough. You were still Mavaza, the Dvar Hashem, and you sent the Uriah Achiti to die, Lefichherev, and you took his wife. So he was saying, if what Hashem gave you is very small, I'll give you more and more. Kohena v'chohena, says the Gemara, Kohena shis. I'll give you like these six wives, like you have already, another six. V'chohena, and it says, Kohena v'chohena, just like you have already, another six. Meaning six, six, and six, you have 18 wives. The havlut hamnisar, you have 18, the maximum that a person is allowed to marry, redashing from there is 18. Maskifla, Ravina, Emo, Kahina, maybe no, maybe you're not dashing right. Maybe you should say that you have six wives now. And Nasan and Navi were saying, Kahina, I'll give you another six, which is 12. Tarti, sorry, which is 12. Vichahina, and another like you previously have, double the 12. Don't double the 6. Esrim Abra, so it's 24. So tomorrow, yeah, Tan Namach, we have a brisa that says like that. Yarbel and Noshim, Yoisim Esrim Abra, there is a brisa that says that you cannot take many wives, which is limiting it at 24, not at like we have 18. Mandarish Vav, and according to Mandama that says that you darshan every time it says in the Torah Vav, what do you do with it? You do with it as follows. Arbon Mishmoin, it should be 48, because you keep on doubling the previous number. You have a brisa that says because we have David had six wives. Kohena makes it 12. Vav of Vichohena makes it 24. The last Kohena makes it 48. Our Tana that says that you shouldn't have more than 18. What's his reasoning? How do you know? Why does he know that it's not talking about 24 for doubling the last number? He makes a hekesh, the first kahina to the second kahina. Just like the first kahina is just telling you the number 6, so too the second kahina is just limiting it to the number 6. He had Michal also, and Michal wasn't one of the women that was listed in the pasuk that we just previously said. So you see that he had 7 wives. Amarav, no, Egla, Zu Michal. When it says that the sixth one was Yisram, who was born to Egla, Eishes David, Egla was referring to Michal. Egla, and why does the pasuk refer to her as Egla? Shechaviva alav ke'egla, that she was beloved to him like an Egla, which is like it says in Yirmiyah, Egla yafa pia, that Egla is a lashon of chavivas. V'chinu oimer lulei charashtem ba'aglosi, that the Pasuk Shavdim says, it's referring to, that Shimshon was referring to, if I would have been quiet, Ba'aglossi, with my wife, that was a beloved wife, that he told her this secret. Shimshon told her, we know Shimshon told the secret of his strength, and that was ultimately his downfall. So he refers to his beloved wife as Eglossi, so you see that Eglo can mean a wife. Now the pasuk is going, Mi'avili Michal b'nei. So it says in that pasuk that Eglo was Michal, and it referred to a son that David HaMelech had to Eglo. And we know that Michal did not have any children. That she only had a son right before she died. That Yisram was born on the day of her death, that even though it says in Shmuel that she didn't have any children until the day she died, Yisrael was tak only born on the day of her death. Michti bonim hecha kachashavlei. Aye, we're going to slug that up. We're going to say it can't. It doesn't make sense. It says, where were the children that we were talking about David HaMelech had? Bechevron. V'ilumais de Michal, the story that Michal happened, b'yushalayim avet. The chsev, like it says in the pasuk, u'micha ba'shol nishkafa ba'arach aloin. Micha, the daughter of Shaul, looked out of the window. V'teira Hamelech Dovin mefazes u'mecharker lefnei Hashem. Bativa is in the pasuk ends off lo b'liba, that it was very embarrassing in her heart. And then the pasuk continues over there. V'teitz Micha b'Shaul likras Dovin atoyma manichbadi amemelech Yisrael. That how can you go and embarrass yourself like that? Everyone's going to think you're one of the empty-headed people. And David, of course, was not happy with Michal that she gave him this musar and that she was mevazeh David HaMelech for dancing in front of the Aron Bris Hashem. And David HaMelech, because of that, the fallout was that Michal didn't have any children. But the Gemara is bringing out from here that that story happened in Yerushalayim when she looked out of the window. And the pasuk before, when it was talking about the children of Michal, Yisram, the daughter of the son of Eglah, which was referring to Michal, happened in Chevron. So how could you say that that child was born at the end of her days? Amar Rav Yehuda v'Yitam Rav Yosef, Shekal saw Michal in Mitraf, so that Michal got a punishment at that day that she didn't have any children until the day she died. Ad Mikan ve'elach lo yehayelah. That you're right, until that story that she went and she was in Vaz David HaMelech, she had children. But after that story, she did not have any children further until the day she died, and that was the punishment. Agav, just to exhale for one moment, I heard a nice pshat that what's the midah kenegan midah that Michal didn't have any children after she went and was mevazeh David for dancing from the Aron Bris Hashem. So we know that the what David was doing was really showing the chavivas haTorah and was really dancing in front of Hashem out of his emotional love for Torah that he was being mechabed and dancing with excitement. Michal couldn't understand it, even though she had the chashivas haTorah and the chavivas haTorah. She said, "L'may safart, a king has to act with a certain respect. A melech has to live on a higher standard, and even though a regular person show the public the chavivas and the chashivas, David, since you're the king, you can't have that." And the midah keneged midah was, is that we know that really everyone has their standards. And kings, wealthy people, dignitaries, people act on a certain bekovedik and merimdik standard, on a certain higher standard. The only time people break that, and we find it across the board, universally, is with children. You can find the most honorable person, the wealthiest person, the most mechubedik person, when it comes to his children, a child on the floor, a father will go down with his baby, play with him, coo with him, make sounds with him, just to make him smile, just to give him pleasure, just to bond with that child. And that was the midah keneged midah. And Michal couldn't understand that there are certain things that are just above the letter of the law, that just go and break all standards and go and have a different set of rules to them. That's children. So in the Torah, so too the Torah, when it comes to being mechaber the Torah and showing chavivas haTorah, it has a different set of rules and a different standards. That even though you're right, I'm an honorable person, even though you're right, naturally I can't do it, but it's just, it flows from me like a father plays with his child, like a father dances in front of his child. You can't understand that you're not right to have children. Foksiv, now the Gemara continues and it says that how could you say that David didn't have more than 18 children? It says that David ate pilakshim nashim Yerushalayim. That David and the Shmuel says that he took more pilakshim and women in Yerushalayim. So tomorrow, no, b'sanastirulam luish min aser, that was coming to fill to the number of 18. My nashim and my pilakshim. So now we're going to break down to that pasuk. What does it mean nashim? What does it mean pilakshim? Amr v'yudam arav v'yudam said in the name arav nashim b'ksuba b'kedushin. Noshim was with a ksuba and with kedushin. Pilakshim b'loy ksuba b'loy kedushin. Pilakshim was without ksuba and without kedushin. Amr v'yudam rav. Abra meyasi lodim hoyu l'david kulum nefas tayr hoyu. David had 400 children and they were all children of yifas tayr. We know that Allah is a yifas tayr is someone that when a person goes to war, the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't give a person a test that he cannot withstand. And therefore, tzaddikim, we know the great tzaddikim were the ones who ended up going to war, people who mamash didn't talk between the tefillin shel'yad and tefillin shel'reish. Afalpikin, if they saw yifas tayr, a woman there that they mamash had a burning taiva for, the Rebbeinu Shlom was matir them to marry them. And there's many machloiksim on the actual halachas of what the process was when a person married them, the Bia Rishonah was mutter, maybe not the Bia Shniah. Was it before Gerim, they became Gerim, after they became Gerim, was right away when they came back home. But Al Koponim, we know that the follow-up and what happened afterwards is that what ends up coming out is the Ben Sarah Mer. Ben Sarah Mer comes out of the Yifas Torah, and therefore it's not really a recommended thing, but it's something that is mutter, so that the Torah is matter. But the Ramah says over here that you can't really say that the Gemara is talking about that David HaMelech went out to 400 wars and he took 400 Nashim Yifas Tayr. But rather, he went out to 200 wars and each Yifas Torah that he had twins, and that's what he had 400 children from the Yifas Torah. Doesn't mean that he had 400 Yifas Torahs, but rather it means he had 200, at least to minimize the amount that he went out. Umegadle Blurius, and they used to go and they used to let their hair grow long, and they used to go in the head of the war, and they were lifted on golden chairs. And these were the people who went and put fear and instilled the fear when David went out to war, because they came out with a cavalry, and they came out in the Eifem Mechubid, and people walking in front of them, and wealth just flowing from their veins, and they were strong, built people. Other Rishonim say that no, that David HaMelech Gufa showed that these were people. The Ben Yehuda says that the Bnei Yifas Toyer were the simen of the Hatzlocha that David HaMelech had in the war, and by them coming out, that itself was able to instill fear in the future wars. From Rav Yehuda Merav, Rav Yehuda says an interesting story in the name of Rav. Tamar, we know that Tamar is one of the daughters of David HaMelech, that was brought down, Basif Hastar, she was a Basif Hastar. Shenamar Ba'at Dabrna Amelech Yiloyim Ein Memecha. Tamar was talking to Amnon, her brother, that Amnon wanted to live with her in a forbidden relationship, to force her to live with her. And Tamar was saying to him, Ba'at Dabrna Amelech, speak to the king that he shouldn't hold me back from you. Isaac Dat Bat Nesun Have. And if Tamar was a regular daughter of David Amelech, Chizim Yav Shari Le, could Tamar have married Amnon? And we know Tamar was a righteous woman. Elishma Amino Basif Hastayr, she was a Basif Hastayr, she wasn't a regular daughter, but rather she was Basif Hastayr. And it was before her mother was Nizgayra. Some people say it was before Gerish and Gemurin, and before she went and became a convert completely, and therefore, since her mother was considered a Gentile, therefore she's not like the daughter of David, because Mafkara Zara, the daughter, the lineage goes after the mother if she's a Yid, and she didn't have a Din Yid, and therefore she was not forbidden to marry Amnon, who was the son of David. L'Amnon Reya, and Amnon, Pasuk continued, had a friend, Ushmo Yoindov ben Shimma, Achi David, Yoindav Ishchacham. Yoindav was a very wise man, and Yoinadav was the friend of this Amnon, the son of David. Amr of Yudam Arav says that he was a wise man, Ishchacham Lerisha, but he did not use his wisdom for good things, but rather he used it not for Chacham HaSatayra, but he gave Eitzus how to let people sin like we're about to see. Vayoymer and Yoinadav said to Amnon, Madu ata kochadal, Ben HaMelech, why are you all depressed? Why are you all down and weak and thin? Why are you all sick? I understand you want to go and have a relationship with Tamar. I have a great idea. Make believe you're very sick. Ad va'aslene abirya. And then you'll go and you're going to say, let my sister come and feed me. And that will be a way to be miyachid, to do yichud with Tamar. After you tell David, your father, that I'm very sick and I need my sister to come and feed me and nourish me and bring me back to my health. And that's what happened. And the Pasuk says, and I'm going to quote you outside, Yishkav Amnon v'Yizchol v'Yovei HaMelech Roisei, David HaMelech came to visit his son. V'Yomer Amnon HaMelech, David HaMelech was told by his son, Tovino Tamar HaChosei V'Telavev L'Einai Shtei Livavois V'Evra Miyodo, let me eat from her hands. V'Yishol David El Tamar, David sent for Tamar HaBais HaLemer L'Chino HaBais Amnon, go to Amnon's house, Achicha, your brother, V'Asi Lo Yabirion, and make for him this food, v'teiloch tamar b'as amnon nachiyavu, shoich v'ticha v'batzoch v'tolosh v'talabi v'einov, v'tevashel es ha'livavois, v'tikach es ha'masreis, v'titzoik l'fonov. She prepared this whole food and this whole dish in front of him. She mamish cooked it in front of him, she prepared everything and she served it to him. And right when she was serving to him, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, she'asa minetigun, she made this special type of fattening food that she made before him. Why exactly is Rav Yehuda Merav saying exactly what type of food that he made? Says Ben Yoder, Rav Yehuda Merav is trying to understand exactly what was going through David's head. He didn't realize that Amnon was trying to figure out a way to be miyachad with Tamar. So he says that no. He said, I needed a specific dish that had to be cooked fresh off the pot and had to be made in front of me, and it can't be eaten cold, and it wasn't covered so the heat doesn't retain in it. And that's what David HaMelech was being told. And then it says what happened. Amnon had this relationship with Tamar. Bal Korcha, he was with her. And then it says, the pasuk says that what occurred after that, v'yisno'eo Amnon sinu g'doylem o'id. K'gdoyla asin asher sonu me'aba asher ahivo. The hatred that Amnon had for Tamar after this story, after he had this relationship, and after he conspired and manipulated David HaMelech to tell Tamar to go serve him this dish when he was making believe he was sick, he hated her. Worse than the love that he loved her, that strong love that he loved her, he hated her worse than that. My time of Yitzchak, Nima Nikshraloi V'asoi Krus Shefcha. Tamar went and tied around his Aver here and made him a Krus Shefcha, a person who's unable to have children. If it got tied around him, her hair, exactly what does she do? Rod Ela'ema, not that her hair got tied around him, but rather she, Bikavona, went and on purpose tied this hair around his aver, and she made him a kroshivcha and unable to have children, and therefore he hated her terribly. Why did she do it? So you could say she was having revenge, but we know that Tamar was a righteous woman, and we know, like we said before, that since Tamar was the daughter of Yifastar, she was mother to him. So why exactly did she do this? So it says that Tamar Chas Shalom, says the Ben Yehuda, wasn't trying to get revenge or punish him, rather Adarabo. She was pleading with him that he shouldn't send her away, because we know the din is that a person who is ma'anis, who forcefully has a relationship with the lady, has to marry her and keep her forever. But she knew that since he was a regular Yisraelis, he was a ben melech, and she was a shifcha, she was the daughter of a yifaster, she would be aser to him. And we know that the Torah says, v'lo yisi elisha, that there's a mitzvah, a commandment for a person who forcefully has a relationship with a lady to keep her and to marry her. And she knew that would be impossible to keep this mitzvah, as he was the prince, and she was a giyores, because she was the daughter of a shifcha, which wasn't a miyuchas b'Yisrael. So she said, she went in her wisdom, she made him a krus shifcha, and a krus shifcha is not mutter anymore to marry a regular bas Yisrael, but rather, he's only mutter to marry a giyores. Therefore, he hated her, because she put him in the situation that he was now only mutter to her. Fracti Gemara, can you say that Aini, is that true? Vadaris Rava Maidik Sivayet Sham Shemba Goyim Biafich, Shain Lubnais Shol Loisar Besa Shachi, Loi Besa Erva. That the daughters of Klal Yisrael don't have Sar in the Besa Shachi and the Besa Erva around the Erva and the Shachi, they don't have here. So how could you say that she did this whole contraption to make him a Krus Shivcha when her hair got stuck to his Aver? Women of Bnei Yisrael don't have that. So tomorrow, Shani Tamar, the Fastor, Tamar was a Yifastor. Again, she was a Giyoras, she wasn't a regular B'nai Sisrael, Mimela, she had Tsar Beit HaShechi. Obviously, the Tosa Rosh and the Ran and the Farshim ask, how can Simonim ever be by B'nai Sisrael if you can say they don't have any here? So it says that they don't have here, like the Goyim, they don't have a lot. Mimela, wouldn't be possible to make a Krus Shifcha like the Gemara describes. The Gemara continues and says, V'tikach Tamar Efer al Roisha. And it says that she mamish gave a cry and she was very sad. With this screaming and crying and this embarrassment that she put on herself and the scene that she made a tremendous geder and a tremendous prevention for future people in Bnei Yisrael. Amru l'vnois m'lachim kach. If people, when they saw this terrible fallout that happened, and the sad and hardship that she put on herself, and the sadship that she made herself look like, the hardship that she put herself through, and the mourning and crying that she went and publicly displayed, the people who saw this says, imagine the daughter of a king this could happen to. Imagine a regular, simple girl this could for sure happen to. Imagine such a fine and tanua, a refined girl. Kach, this could happen to Leputza Se'achz. For sure, a girl who's not careful to be a tanua, it could for sure happen to. Reviewed on Marav, but Issa Shah, at that moment, Gozru ala Yichud, Ba'ala Pnuya. They were geyser on being Mesiyachid, because being alone with a married woman, vala pnuya, that you're not allowed to marry or have relationships with a pnuya, a single girl, without marrying her with kedushin and a ksuba. In fact, Gemara, they were geizer al yichud, or Rabbanon made a gzeira on yichud. Yichud dairaisu, yichud's a regular isser dairaisa when it comes to a married woman. Said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yitzchak, "Rem is liyichim atorim and I had no yichus atorim and I." Shemar he is sischo achicha ben imecha. When your brother, the son of your mother, tries to get you to do avera, v'chi ben aim mesis ben avein a mesis. Only a son of your mother tries to get to be a mesis, not the son of your father. El leimelocha ben mesachrim imoy. We're coming to say a remez. It's a play on words. A son can have yichud with his mother, even though she's an erva, and even though she's an eshes ish. But rather, ve'ein achem mesachrim kol arayish abtera. But a stama person cannot be mesiachid, cannot be alone with the rest of the arayis, the isurim d'arayisa of the Torah. So you see that the iser yichud of being alone with a woman is a regular iser, is an iser atera. Al ema gozral yichud de pnuya. You're right. The words of Rav Yehuda Amarav is that they were geyser. The Chachamim made a gzeira on being alone with a pnuya that you're not allowed to do it because even though a pnuya is generally not asam and atayr because she's not a real erva, but since there's an isser to be yichud of any arayis and an eshes ish, so the Chacham made an isser of gozer al pnuya. The Gemara that was talking about Rav Yehuda Amarav, that was talking about the Shem Adinio, brings down Vadinio ben Chagas Masnasi Lema Ani Amloich. Rav Yehuda Amarav said another memra. The Adinio was the son of David, we know, and he tried to go and become the king and self-appoint himself as a king. Melamed Shebikish L'Holmoy V'loy Hoy Lamtoy. He tried to go and put the crown on his head, but the crown was a special crown with the sharbet going through it that only fit on people who were roi, that were really supposed to be the king, and he didn't. It didn't fit on his head. So he tried to go and self-appoint himself as king, and that didn't go. So instead, what did he do? Like a type of person who's a king, he went and he put these 50 people running in front of him. My Rabusa, what's the chiddush? If he's the son of the king, he could for sure do it. I'm reviewing on Marav. They were all people who took out a certain bone in their body called tchoil, which helps them run better. And they took a medicine that took out this tchoil and also helps them run better, that the soles of their feet become harder, that they can run on thorns or hard things and they don't get damaged. In other words, they're destined to be the people who run in front of the king. So Himamish made himself like a king, and he did these things that gave him the simon like a king, even though he really wasn't the king. The Mishnah continues on the previous theme that he's not allowed to have many wives, and the Mishnah says Liyarbalik Susim is not allowed to have many horses. Elk de lemekavta, only enough horses that he needs for his chariots. Because of his avli arbaloi moed, he shouldn't have much money, meaning too much extra dailies in Espana, to give his soldiers and anyone that comes in and out with him the amount that they need to their salaries and everything that he needs for the year. He's allowed to have that much money to pay all these salaries and everything he needs for that. But he shouldn't have too much extra. But then the pasuk says, "Choisev sefer Torah l'shmoi," he has to write a sefer Torah for himself, meaning that's his. If he goes out to war, this comes with him. Nichnis, when he comes back from war, this comes with him. Yoshev Badin, he imoy, when he sits to judgment, this is with him. Mesiv he kenegdoi, and this, when he sits to eat, the Sefer Torah is right sitting across from him. That this Sefer Torah should be with him his whole life. It should mamash be every step of the way. It should be with him. The pasuk says you shouldn't have a lot of horses. I might think you shouldn't have enough even for your chariots and the things that are running in front of you. The pasuk says loy. No, you shouldn't have for yourself. Loy, For yourself, you shouldn't have a lot of horses. But for your chariots and what you need to ride on, of course you're allowed to have as much as you need. So why does the Torah say that you shouldn't have a lot of animals? You shouldn't have animals, horses that are sitting and doing nothing, meaning the extra things just to make you a balgaiva, that you have so many chariots and horses that you're not using even, that you shouldn't have. But what you need for your chariots, of course you're allowed to have. But how do you know that if you have one extra horse that's not doing anything, that's just there to sit and do nothing, that you're over this iser of layar? It says sus in the pasuk, a lashon yachid, a singular. That word sus, that means even if you have one extra sus that's not doing anything, then you're over already the pasuk of layar. So why does the Torah then use a plural lashon if even one superfluous sus, one extra horse, is going to make you over this isra of layarba? So why does the Torah ever use a lashon plural? Sus, that every single horse that you have extra, let's say you have 100 horses, your mamash over alav on every extra horse, and it's not just one portfolio of 100 horses, and that would be one lav of layar. But no, every horse that you have extra is a horse that's making you be over a lav. Time to cause Rachmana loy. So we see that we darshan the word loy. But let's say it wouldn't say loy. I would think that no, you're never allowed to have extra horses, not just for you yourself, but rather ever. So Gemara loy tzwicha. No. You can't say that a person, that a melech, can never have for his chariots. It's obvious that you could. So why does it say, loy lafushe, that you're allowed to have a little extra, meaning you're allowed to have the leeway, that you don't have to go and take an actuary to figure out exactly how many horses, and there's no room for error and nothing that's left for a buffer. But rather, you're allowed to have enough to have for your rechev, and your chariots, and you're allowed to have the buffer zone, the amount that you might end up needing, even if you're not actually using them right now. But just, you're not allowed to buy extra just to sit and do nothing with. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to have more money, but rather to pay the salaries of all the people and all the chariots and all the army and ulterior that you need. I might think that you can't even have enough money to give to your salaries for your soldiers and all those things. But for yourself, you're not allowed to have too much money. But you're allowed to have enough to give to your soldiers. Again, we're going to rehash the same drasha, that it sounds like that if not for the toy, the pasuk that says this extra word loy, I would think that you can't even have enough money to pay your salaries. And really, can it be logical that you, the Torah would assume that you shouldn't be able to do that? Again, that you're allowed to have a little bit of a cushion that you shouldn't need mamish to the last penny, and you're allowed to have that little cushion. Hashna amrit loy ledrasha. So now that we just used the word loy by money and horses for a drasha, layarber loy nashamay darish pay. So it says that you yourself are not allowed to have many wives. What exactly is the drasha we're using for the word loy when it refers to wives? The hadyoitis, the people that are not kings, they're allowed to have more than 18 wives. Obviously, this is referring to before the chaim rabbeinu gershom, where you're not allowed to have more than one wife at all. But a regular person is allowed to have more than one, more than 18 wives, which is the maximum for a king. Review the Rami Ksiv. Shlomo had 40,000 aruves of susim for his chariots. Ksiv Yilu Shlomo arbaas alafim aruvei susim. Okay, said, what exactly was going on? It seems like a contradiction on how many aruvei susim he had for his chariots. Did he have 40 or 4,000? Im arbaam elef it's daboi saya. If he had 40, kol echad ve'echad, then every single one of them, hayu bayar ba'as alva aruva susim. V'im arba'as alva it's the boys haya, and if you had 4,000, it's la boys, then kol echad ve'echad, hayu bayar ba'im alva aruva susim, then every one of them would have 40,000 susim. So how exactly do you do it? So how does the Torah go and justify this seemingly stira of the two psukim of 40 and 40? It says that one's referring to these itzlabois, and one is referring to the actual aruvais. What's the itzlabois? The itzlabois were the houses where they were housed, the stables, so to speak. So he says that if there were 40,000 itzlabois, and that's what the first pasuk is referring to, then every house had in it 4,000 aruvais. And if the 4,000 of the second pasuk was referring to itzlabois, then each one, kolach ba'echad, would have in it 40,000 aruvais, but obviously they're both not talking about itzlabois and aruvais. One is talking about these itzlabois, which is the houses, and one is talking about the aruvais that were housed in these houses. Yitzchok Rami Ksev, Yitzchok Ksev, Ein Kasev Nechshav, Yimei Shloim L'mu'uma. One pasuk says in Devar Hayomim that in the times of Shlomo money was worthless. Uksiv, and another pasuk says that the pasuk that money in the times of Shlomo and Yerushalayim was like stones, which has a small value, but still it was somewhat chashuv. So it seems like a steer in the psukim. Then the first pasuk says in Dibre Yomim that money had no value, and the second pasuk says that money had a little bit of value. Loikasha, again, it's not a steerah, kan kodim shenos shleima es bas paroi. Kan la'acha shenos shleima es bas paroi. After Shlomo married the daughter of Paroi, then he lost some of his wealth, and therefore his wealth had a little bit of value, like stones in the second pasuk. Before he married the daughter of Paroi, and before the punishment, money had literally no value because of the amount of wealth that Shlomo HaMelech had. Gavriel came down when Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paroi, and he put this reed in the ground, in the yam, in the sea. The hella sirtoin, and a lot of dirt and tar came around this reed, this stick. V'olav nivna krach godol sheberemi, and on that island that formed on this stick that Gavriel stuck in the sea, a big krach, a city of Rome, was built, meaning the Churban came out of this. This Aver was the beginning of the end. Why were the reasoning of the Torah in general not given out? Why does the Torah refrain from telling us why we can't ichazer, why we can't wear shatnez? Why does the Torah not tell us the reason? There are two psukim in the Torah that the Torah says why you can't do a certain avera. And Shlomo HaMelech was nichshal, he fell on the fact that the Torah revealed the reason behind this avera. Because of that, that was the downfall and the reason that Shlomo HaMelech fell. Shlomo HaMelech says, it says that you're not allowed to have many wives. Ani arba, I'll have many wives, ulay aser, and I won't stray, meaning I won't fall into the trap that the Torah says happens when you marry many wives. And it says explicitly in Pasuk Melachim that in the days when Shlomo HaMelech was older, his wives actually made his heart stray, meaning it was a direct result of him marrying so many women. It says in the pasuk that you shouldn't have a lot of horses. But Amar Shlomo, and Shlomo HaMelech says, "Ani arba, I'll have many horses." And the end of the pasuk says, "V'lo yoshev asal Mitzrayim," and the nation shouldn't return to Mitzrayim. "V'lo yoshev," Shlomo HaMelech said, "I won't return." And it says in the Uksiv, in Malachim, again, Perek Yud, pasuk Chav Tes, "V'talav atezem merkavim Mitzrayim b'sheish meis kesef v'sus b'chmishim meya." That again, the end result was that he did go back to Mitzrayim, and it was a result of having these extra horses. The Kosef Sefer Torah L'shmai. The Mishnah says that a king has to write a Sefer Torah. Tanu b'vashle yisnoa b'shalabaisav, he shouldn't go and use the one that he got b'Yerusha, but rather he should write his own Sefer Torah. Amar Rabba Aval Pishenich lo yavais la'odom Sefer Torah. We know that there's a chiyuv for every person to write a Sefer Torah, even though a person was Yerush, inherited a Sefer Torah from his fathers. Mitzvah lichtav mishaloi, a person still has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Shnemar ba'ata kisru lochem es hashira azois. The Pasuk Azinu says that you should write this pasuk, this shira, which is referring to the Sefer Torah. And there's a fascinating and tremendous machloikas amongst the poskim if this halach is applicable nowadays, and how we could be mekayim it. Many poskim hold in the Shitas HaRosh that this is referring to Svarim, and just to be able to learn in it. And since we don't learn from Sifrei Torah nowadays, it's actually referring to Svarim. Our Rebbe Swirly told us already and went into this in a very deep way. We're not going to go into it. Ain kan zman umakum to go into this now. Esve abayo v'koisiv loy sefer Torah l'shmoy shlo yisnei b'shal achirim, that a person should write a sefer Torah, that he shouldn't go and be misnoah in others. Melech in, it seems like a melech is a mechuyiv to write the sefer Torah, and he shouldn't use what he inherited from his father or from other people. Hedyet loy, but it seems like a hedyet, a regular person, can go, and if he has access for some odd reason, let's say, for example, he inherited a sefer Torah, then he doesn't have to rewrite a new one. It's like, no, loy tzricha shtei Torahs. It's referring to two Torahs. That a melech has to write two Torahs. A hedyet only has to have one Torah. Uchtani, like we learned in the Braisa, v'kosav loy mishnei Torah, hazoyis al sefer mufnei agonim alavinim, that the melech has to go and write two sefer Torahs. Kosev l'shmoy shnei Torahs, he has to write two Torahs. Achas she yoytzev in the chnasas, one that goes in and out with him, that imamish keeps with him and interacts with in every day and every way of his life. V'achas she munachas loy b'beis knozev, one that he keeps in his treasury that he does not use. Oyz she yoytzev in the chnasas, the one that goes in and out with him, k'min kameya v'toyel b'zroyoi, he hangs like a kameo, like an amulet, on his neck. A person has to always have a sefer Torah next to his heart, next to him, across from him, that it does everything and goes out with him. But he doesn't take it with him into the bathhouse or into the bathroom. It says in the pasuk that he has it with him and he reads from it. By that you only take it with you everywhere in a place where it's allowed to be read, but a beis hakisa and a beis hamerchatz, where are places that are disgusting, you're not allowed to read, you're not allowed to learn any Torah in it. So over there, the sefer Torah doesn't go in and out with him. Omar mazutra v'itemer marukva b'tchila, in the time of matan Torah, where we got it by our sin and nitin Torah liyisrael b'chsav ivri, we got the Torah in the ksav, the letters were written in the ksav of ivri, which was the bnei ever anor, and the Lashon HaKodesh, and it was written in Lashon HaKodesh. Chozer v'nitlam b'mei Ezra, when we got it again, b'mei Ba'is Sheni, we got it b'chsav Ashuris v'Lashon Arami. Beiru lehem li'Yisrael, k'sav Ashuris v'Lashon Arami. And we chose to stick with this k'sav Ashuris and Lashon Arami, and not the k'sav Ivri. V'nichu le'hedyoytis, and we left for the hedyoytis, which we're going to explain exactly who the hedyoytis were, k'sav Ivris v'Lashon Arami, the ksav of Eivar Anar, and the Lashon Arami, which was not Lashon Kodesh. Man Hadiyotis, who were the Hadiyotis? Amar of Chizuk Toi, the Kutim, they use still this ksav Ivri and Lashon Arami. My ksav Ivris, what is ksav Ivris? Amar of Chizuk, ksav Livino, ksav that were written in very large letters. Tanu B'yosiyom, Royoya Ezra Shin Tanosin Tar El Yodli Yisrael Mole, called Mamoisha. Ezra really was Roi. He was able to be give the Torah through him to Klal Yisrael, meaning he was on such a high level that he was mamish able to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael to be the one to transmit the Torah. But Moshe beat him to the punch. Moshe who Aimer, Moshe says Moshe al Alekim. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, says Moshe went up to Hashem. Be'ezru Aimer, who Ezra Olam Babel, Ezra went up from Babel. So we're comparing the two Olas, the Ola of Ezra and the Ola of Moshe. Ma'aliyah Umar Amur Kan, just like the Aliyah says by Moshe Rabbeinu Torah, it's referring to Torah. Af Aliyah Amar La'alon Torah. So too, when Ezra came up from Babel, it says that he was Oila, he was able to give the Torah. Moshe Waimer, Moshe says, V'oisi tziva Hashem ba'isa yilam edeschem chugim mishpatim. And Hashem commanded me at that time to teach you the mitzvahs. Ezra Oimer, and Ezra says, Ki Ezra heichen lebabi lidrash teres Hashem las lamed l'shol chugim mishpat, the same thing that Torah was able to be given over, his heart was prepared and roi and able to be given over to teach the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Even though the end of the day was Moshe Rabbeinu Maisa beat him to it, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit and the one who through him the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, and Ezra wasn't zayecha to that. Still, nishtana al yaday, it was taught through him again, haksav. This change that happened, and it was taught through him, and it was changed from Ksav Ivris to Ksav Ashuris, that happened through Ezra. And that he was zeich to. Shnemer, like it says in the Pasuk, Uchsov HaNishtoven, the Pasuk says in Ezra that the Ksav that was changed, Kosov Aramis and Maturgman Aramis, that it says that in the times of Ezra, the Ksav was changed to Aramis. Uksev, and it says by the Suda of Belshazzar, the infamous Suda that Belshazzar has, that the writing on the wall happened and no one was able to understand it. No one was able to read this, and no one was able to understand it and to explain it to the king. Why? Because the Malach wrote in a new language that was never known. Even the Yidden in that time didn't understand it. Who understood it? Only Daniel. Why? Because that was the Ksav, this Lashon Arami that was given to Ezra that now happened. Ksiv, like it says, Kosovus Mishnah HaTorah Azoyis, Ksav HaRoi Leshtanis. It says in the Pasuk, by the king, when it's referring to the king's Sefer Torah, write it in the Mishnah HaTorah Azoyis. So we darshan from there, the word Mishnah is also not only a second Sefer Torah, like we said before, but writing that is able to change. What does it mean, it's able to change? That Moshe Rabbeinu was being meramez, that the Torah is going to change, that from his days it was written in Ksav Ivri, but by Belshazzar and Daniel, it changed to Ksav Arami, not Lashon HaKodesh. Lo Menikra Ashuris, and why is this Ksav that was given in the times of Ezra called Ksav Ashuris? She'ola imo me'asher, because it came up from Bavel, which we know is referred to as Asher, like we had in the previous daf, that Asher was the name of Bavel, and since it was brought up from Asher, so that's why it's so called Ksav Ashuris. I just want to say one ha'ara before we finish, that it says that a person that gets a Torah b'Yerusha, he inherits the Sefer Torah, still he has to write his own Torah. What is this halacha that he has to write his own Torah? Says the Halak Ksav Sefer, like under a minog of his absurdity to always, as much as possible, quote from Ksav Sefer and the Ksav Sefer, he says, that it says, Kol ha-koisav lo sefer Torah l'gmora menachas daf lamar ma'alf, kilu kibla mar Sinai. Anyone who writes the Sefer Torah, it's like he accepted it from Har Sinai. Cryptic words in the Gemara Menachas. What it says, the Ksav Sefer, venerally loses tavlin. I want to add spice to what I said in the Gemara in Brachas daf Chofa Amud Beis, that anyone who teaches the son of someone else Torah, it's like he got it from Har Sinai. What's the connection between teaching Torah to a son to getting it from Har Sinai? Says the Ksav Sefer, there are three types of people that do the mitzvahs. There's a person who does it me'ahava, there's a person who does it me'yira, a person who does it because he loves Hashem. Then there are people who do it because they have yira shamayim. And then there are many, many people that do it because out of habit. They do it by rote, mitzvahs anoshim elamada, that they mamash have no clue what they're doing. But the bottom line is that they're just doing it because this is what they've been doing for so many years, and that's why they keep the mitzvahs Hashem. A person who doesn't have one of the first two ways, either Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem, there's no chance in heaven that his kids are going to go and continue in his ways because of him. Because all they see is a person who is keeping his habit. They don't have any hergish in it. They don't have any feeling in it. He's not able to give it over in his kids. That's what it says. Simu levavchem l'cha advar mashar anoichi. That you have to really put it onto your heart. And the person who puts it onto his heart and does it because of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that person's going to be able to give it over to his kids. Says the Ksav Sefer scary words, that a person who keeps all the mitzvahs, does every single mitzvah, learns Torah, davens three times a day, but he's doing it out of habit, if he would have a chance to be offered the Torah at Har Sinai, he would not accept it, because he has no connection to it. He has no Yiras Shamayim, he has no Avas Hashem, but rather he's doing it out of habit. And if he could stop, he would be'etzim stop. He just doesn't want to. So that's what it says. A person who gives over the Torah to his children, kilu 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 kibul haTorah me'Har Sinai, that person is like accepting the Torah from Har Sinai. Why? Because that person would want to re-accept the Torah. That person who teaches it, who gives it over, who's able to imbue that love in Yiras Shamayim to his children, obviously has what it takes to accept the Torah again from Har Sinai. And that's what it says, that a person who goes and writes a Sefer Torah, a person doesn't mean you're writing a Sefer Torah. It means you're writing a Kosum Aluach Libecha, that you're internalizing it, that you're writing the Sefer Torah, that a person's mechuyev to write it mechadosh, to write your own Sefer Torah. Don't take the Yerusha of your father. Don't just do it because you were raised like this. Do it because you mean it. Do it because you understand it, because you want it. Such a person's going to be able to give it. And I heard over a famous vart, the famous vart says, Yiftach libeinu b'seirasa, you should really have open heart that your heart should want to learn Torah. And we're davening to Hashem, give us, put on our heart your love and your Yerushamayim. Then we could daven leman loyniga larik v'leined labhala, which we know is the tefillah of the children. That a person who really davens and really loves Hashem, who has avas Hashem and Yerushamayim, such a person leman loyniga larik v'leined labhala. And there are many, many rayas of what we daven b'harav of Noah, v'nia anachnu v'tzatzeinu, that we have a sweet, that we really, really feel the sweetness of the Torah, we feel the avos from Yerushalayim, then it will go over to our children. That's what this Gemara is really alluding to. That mishaniach loy aviv sefer Torah, your father left you the sefer Torah, he raised you to keep the mitzvahs. Don't do it because he raised you. Don't do it because you're a child who's been doing it for so many years, but rather do it lichtoy mishaloy, write your own destiny, write your own mitzvahs, write your own Torah, do it out of that. I just want to end with another tiny ha'ara. It says, "Royo ayez tinasan tarali al yaday li Yisrael." Except that Moshe Rabbeinu was kodmai. It says, "By Moshe, Moshe Allah, by Ezra, Ezra Allah." Exactly. How can we understand this? That Elias Moshe Lemaisa was the highest madrega. Moshe went up from the ground, the foot of Har Sinai, to Ponim Ponim. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He spent 40 days with the Rebbeim. That Aliyah was an Aliyah that was unparalleled. And how can you compare the Allah Mebavel to the from Golos to Eretz Yisrael? He's going from Bavel, that Aliyah. How can you compare it to Moshe Rabbeinu's Aliyah? Says the Abba Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzer, Zechatzal Gavracha, that a person who pulls himself out of Golos, he pulls himself out of Alo Madrega, the Bechina of the Bavel and Golos, that's like a person whose mamish being like Moshe Rabbeinu is going straight up to Shemayim, straight up to Elikim. That even though you're right, like the famous word of the Chidah, that we don't have those madrigas that the previous Rishonim, Achronim, Amoraim, Tanoim, Moshe Rabbeinu reached. But what we have is we're in the mud, and every little madriga that we pull ourselves out, the hardships that we have are mamish, those small levels that we grow are like jumping levels in comparing to reaching the heights that Moshe Rabbeinu went and reached when he went to accept the Torah from Har Sinai.